Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yerushalmi Pei Daf Mem. We are starting Lama Tes Amud Bey is about five lines up from the bottom at the two dots with the words Haleket Vashecha and in the Vilna source of daf. It's just about at the beginning of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. And today's daf is sponsored Lilu Nishmas Maris Miriam Sarah Basar Yaakov Moshe Her Nishama Should Have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah said Haleket Vashecha Vachulu. And the Mishnah in this stage taught two halachas. Number one, if a guy left Leket Shecha and Peya, it's not Pater from Meiser. In other words, it doesn't have a din of Leket Shecha and Peya, and it's therefore like regular produce which is Chayav in Meiser. Number two, this is the safe of the statement. If the guy was mafkir, this like a chechem peya, so then it's like regular hefker and it's pater from meiser. Now this gemara introduces us to the following discussion. Does a guy who owns land in Eretz Yisrael own it to the extent that now whatever grows is pater from meiser? Or no, maybe the guy owns the land, but the produce is still chayv in meiser. So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Chizkiyah say b'shem Rabbi Yechanan. The seifa of the statement in the Mishnah is keman da'amar yesh kenyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael l'patrim in ha'meiseris. It goes like the man da'amar, that a guy does own land in Eretz Yisrael to the extent that it's pater from meiser. Baram, however, Kiman da'amar, ein kenyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael l'patrim in ha'meiseris, according to the man da'amar, that a guy does not own land in Eretz Yisrael to the extent that it's pater from meiser, so afilu hefkiroi chayiv. Even if he was mafkir is like a chechem peya, it's going to be chayiv in meiseris. According to this first version of Rabbi Yechanan, the machlekes is as follows. Lafi the man da'amar ein kenyan, the reason why it's not pater from meiser is because a guy might be able to buy the right to work the land, but the kedusha is still there, and therefore not only is the produce chayiv in meiser, but a guy can't even be mafkir it because the produce attached to the land simply doesn't belong to him. Whereas Lafi the man da'amar that yesh kenyan, the guy actually owns the land itself, removing the kedusha from the produce, patering it from meiser, at least midiraisa, and therefore when he's mafkir the produce, that's mafkiyat from meiser, even midirabanon, and that's who the sefer of the Mishnah is going according to. Lafi the man da'amar that yesh kenyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael patrim min ha'meiseris. Now in this first version of Rabbi Yechanan, the reisha of the Mishnah is according to both man da'amrim, whether you hold yesh kenyan or ein kenyan. The produce of the guy is still chayv in meiser. According to the man da'amar, in kenyan, it's obvious the guy doesn't own the land to the extent that it's pater from meiser. But even according to the man da'amar, yesh kenyan, it's still chayv in meiser midrabanan. But now onto a totally different version of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yosi says b'shem Rabbi Yechanan that the first halacha that this like a chechen peya is chayv in meiser is command da'amar in kenyan the guy b'Eretz Yisrael pater min ha'meiseris. It's according to that man da'amar mem hamad alf on top baram command da'amar yesh kenyan the guy b'Eretz Yisrael pater min ha'meiseris. According to the man da'amar that a guy does own land in Eretz Yisrael to the extent that it's pater from meiser, even if you're going to say that that pater min ha'meiser is mid da'iraisa, but his produce is still chayiv midrabanon, his lekat shechem peya though would be pater even midrabanon. Why is that? Because kala kilu chacham b'likutin, the chacham were mekel when it came to likutin, in other words, lekat shechem peya, that it's not included in this takanas chachamim that his produce is chayiv in meiser. Now, according to this version of Rabbi Yechanan, the seif of this halacha is lafi everyone, both l'man da'amar yesh kenin and ein kenin. And why is that? Because according to this version, both man da'amrim hold that the guy actually owns the land. The whole machlokes is whether or not he owned it to the extent that it doesn't have a chiv of meiser. But since he owns the land, he therefore could technically be mafkir the produce. And that's why the seifa is according to everyone. But nothing more continues. Reb Lazar asks the following question. Ve'ein like kinyan nechasim, doesn't the guy at least have a monetary kinyan in the land? Now that was Reb Lazar's question on Rabbi Yechanan. The question that we have right now is on which version of Rabbi Yechanan is he asking? So the Gemara says, Loy al hada is amris. He's not asking on this version, meaning on the second version. El al hada, he's asking on the first version of Rabbi Yechanan. What's that version? Rabbi Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yirmiyah say b'shem Rabbi Yechanan, Keman da'amar yesh kenyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael l'patrim min ha'meiseris. The sefer of the Mishnah is according to the man da'amar that a guy does own his land in Eretz Yisrael to the extent that it's pater from meiser. Baram keman da'amar in kenyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael l'patrim min ha'meiseris. But according to the man da'amar that the guy does not own his land in Eretz Yisrael to the extent that it's pater from meiser. So alei Rabbi Lazar shoil. On that, Rabbi Lazar asked, Ve'ein lo kenyan achasim? Does he not at least have a kenyan achasim? Does he not at least have a monetary kenyan? And he should be able to be mafkir it. So this is our first understanding. In Reb Lazar's question. However, Reb Chanina says b'shem Reb Pinchas, af, we have to now change the girsa, al tinyasa, al Reb Yosi makshi. We can even say that Reb Lazar is asking on the second version of Reb Yechanan's statement, which is the way Reb Yosi said it over. Reb Yosi said b'shem Reb Yechanan, the ratio of this halacha is, k'man da'amar ein kinyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael l'paitrim min ha'meiseris, v'ram k'man da'amar yesh kinyan l'gai b'Eretz Yisrael l'paitrim min ha'meiseris. Alei Reb Lazar shal, it's on that Reb Lazar asked, ve'ein la kinyan achasim, doesn't he at least have a kinyan achasim? and that means that according to both Man de Amrim, there should be a Ptur from Meiser. And it was on that version of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Elazar was asking on. Now, Man de Amrim is on the top of the brand new Halacha, Halacha Zayin. In this Mishnah, we begin discussing Leket. And we've already said before, the Leket is when we have one or two stalks that fall in the middle of the harvest, those have to be left for the Aniyim. So the Mishnah says, Ezu Leket, what is Leket? Hanoisha B'shas HaKsira, something that falls during the harvest. So now we have a few scenarios. Haya Kaitzer, the fellow is harvesting his field. Katzer Mala Yadai, let's say he's harvesting a handful, or Talash Mala Kumtzai, he's uprooting a handful, and then as he's in the middle of harvesting, he ko kite, he gets struck by a thorn, Vinafal Miyadai La'aret, and one or two stalks fall to the ground. Hareza Shel Ba'al Bayis, that belongs to the Ba'al Bayis, that doesn't belong to the Ani. That's because it didn't fall because of the Ktsira, it didn't fall because of his harvest, it fell because of some external factor. He got scratched by a thorn, stung by a bee, he got startled by a plane passing by. All that is not considered B'shas HaKtsira, and therefore, those one or two stalks belong to him. Another halacha. If it falls from within his hand or from within the sickle, that belongs to the aniyim. Achar hayad v'achar hamagol, but if it falls from behind his hand or behind the sickle, l'bal habayis, that belongs to the bal habayis. So to understand this, we first have to describe how exactly harvesting went. He would take his right hand, if he's a righty, left hand if he's a lefty, and grasp onto a handful of grain. Then he would hold the sickle in his other hand. A sickle, by the way, is like a curved knife that they would harvest with. And then he would swing the sickle and cut this handful of grain that he's holding. If everything went perfectly, he would only cut precisely the amount of grain that he's holding in his hand. So if grain falls from within his grasp, or it was cut toich hamagel, it was cut by the inside of the sickle, which is the sharp part, so then that's your classic case of leket, and that belongs to the aniyim. However, let's say he's holding his handful of grain, and as he's swinging his sickle, the outside of it, which is still sharp, it's not as sharp as the inside, but it still has some sort of sharpness to it, that cuts some grain, and that grain falls down. That's called achar hamagel, on the outside of the sickle, or some grain falls from outside of his grasp. That's considered achar hayad, and that's not considered to be part of the harvest, and therefore that belongs to the Ba'al Bayis. That's not leket. Now we have machlokes, roish hayad v'roish hamagol. What about if it fell from the tip of his hand, just where his thumb meets with his other fingers? There's some grain right there, and it's not mamish inside the palm of his hand, it's just by the edge, and that's where the grain falls from. Or it was cut by the tip of the sickle. So is that considered toich or achar? So Rabbi Shmuel Omer l'aniyim. Rabbi Shmuel says that belongs to the aniyim. That's like it fell from the inside. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says the Ba'al Bayis. That belongs to the Ba'al Bayis. That's considered achar. And the Mishnah continues. Let's say he finds an ant hole that's still within his standing grain. Meaning as he's going through his field harvesting it, he gets to a place that still has standing grain and he finds an ant hole. And as he's looking through the ant hole, he finds a bunch of grain in there. These ants stole some of his grain. So I raise Ishel Ba'al Bayis, that grain belongs to Ba'al Bayis. It's obviously not leket because he hadn't harvested that part of the field yet. However, Ishel Achra Kaitrim, let's say he finds an ant hole after the harvesters already went through that part of the field, and he looks through the ant hole and he finds some grain in there. So El Yoinim La'anim, the El Yoinim belong to the Anim because it's for sure leket, and the Gemara is going to discuss what the El Yoinim are, Ba'tachtoinim, and the Tachtoinim La'Ba'al Bayis, that grain belongs to the Ba'al Bayis. Rav Meir says, Hakol Anim, all the grain found in this ant hole belongs to the Anim, Shasafik Leket Leket, because Safik Leket has a din of leket, and everything here is considered Safik Leket, so all the grain in the ant hole has to be left for the Anim. Now the Gemara clarifies another thing regarding leket. Tani, it says in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, V'leket Kitzircha, the leket of your harvesting. What do we learn from there? Loi kol ha-kartzer b'yadoi, that's not counting if someone's harvesting by hand. He has to be harvesting the normal way that a person harvests, which is holding in one hand and cutting it with a sickle in the other hand. But if he's harvesting it in an abnormal way, he's pulling it out of the ground without cutting it, so it's not considered regular harvest, and grain that falls would not be subject to the din of leket. Now you might ask, but what do you mean? The Mishnah says, talash malai kumtzai, and talash malai kumtzai literally means he uprooted a fistful, meaning he's not cutting it with his sickle, and still the Mishnah says that that's chayv in leket. So the way that would have to be understood is when it says talash malai kumtzai, it's not referring to grain, it's referring to plucking things out of the ground that need to be plucked out of the ground, namely onions or something like that, but it's not talking about harvesting grain by plucking it out of the ground. The Gemara just continues with chavasei, we have a similar halach in regards to grapes. The pasuk says, uperet karmacha, the peret of your vineyard. This is referring to grapes that fall during a grape harvest, that's called peret, and that's similar to leket by grain. But what do we learn from here? Lo pyret biyadai, not if someone's harvesting his grapes by hand, those grapes that fall are not subject to din of leken. Now the Gemara addresses the part of the Mishnah where we said, toichayad v'toichamagol, if something falls within the hand, within the sickle, that's considered leket. If it falls out of the hand and out of the sickle, that's not leket. Now simple reading the Mishnah shows that we have a question regarding a middle case. What about if it fell within the hand, but it was cut by the outside of the sickle, or it was cut by the inside of the sickle, but it fell from the outside of the hand? Let's say, for example, he's holding his grain in his hand and he swings his sickle, but it's too wide of a swing. So the inside of the sickle cut some grain, but it fell from the outside of his hand because the grain that was cut by the inside of the sickle happened to have been outside his grasp. What's the halach over there? Achar yad, but toich hamagol. So Rav Kahana, Rav Techlifa, they argue about this. Chadam, or one of them says, toich hayad v'toich hamagol, only if it falls from within the hand and within the sickle, meaning it has both of these conditions, so then it's considered leket. But anything that only has one condition, either toich hayad and achar hamagol, or toich hamagol and achar hayad, would not be considered leket. V'charan Amar, the other one, says it's always going to be considered leket. Toich hayad, if it fell within the hand, v'afilu l'achar hamagol, even if it was caught by the outside of the sickle, that's still going to be considered leket. The only time it's not considered leket, if it has both conditions, achar yad and achar hamagol. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue talking about these ant holes. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.